I spread a song so you can sing along with my special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast by chance explores musicals for you. Theme Song, yeah!
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today is a returning guest who brought something from his childhood, I'm assuming. It's Tommy Schwanfelder, everyone.
Woo! Hey.
How's it going?
Going good. Still enjoying sunny Florida. Let me peek out the window here. Yep, it's sunny today.
Well,
it'll be raining in the afternoon, but
it might not be sunny by the time this is posted. So, but enjoy the sun while you can. And everyone, we're here today to talk about Free to Be You and Me. It's a 1974 TV special based off of an album. Like, the album came first, yes? That's
yes.
To my understanding of what I've read about this, there was
correct.
The album, and then they were like, let's now make music videos, basically, to them.
Uh-huh.
The screenplay television developers were Bruce Hart, Norman Steinberg, Alan Uger, Carol Hart, and Marlo Thomas. Stories by Lucille Clifton, Herb Gardner, Dan Greenberg, Betty Miles, Carl Reiner, Mary Rogers, Shel Silverstein, and Peter Stone. And there's a book as well by Phil Reznor and Charlotte Solito. We're doing
sure.
Great. One.
You're killing it. It's fine.
I just wanted to give because this is so vignette-y, I wanted to give everyone their due, because, you know, like, Shel Silverstein, there's a song that they based off of one of their poems. So, mm-hmm. And the special was directed by Bill Davis and Lee Steckler. And I don't know which animated sequence, but IMDb just said animated sequence was directed by Fred Wolf. And according to IMDb, based off the beloved children's album that helped challenge gender stereotypes, this 1974 TV special brings a selection of songs from Marlo Thomas's record and book to the small screen via live action puppetry and animation. So, like I said in the intro, I'm assuming this is from your childhood.
Yes and no. So
Well, you saw it as a kid.
Well, I will spill the beans on this one. I remember as a kid hearing about it. My local library did have the record album, but I don't, for some reason, I recall the Parents or People number, which we'll get to in a bit. I do remember that. But I didn't actually sit and watch this movie until the women's study class when I was in high school. But again, once she popped it on, I'm like, oh, I haven't seen this, but I've absolutely heard of it. So this wasn't like weird to me. So we watched it, and yeah, this would have been, I think, my junior year. We watched the whole thing, and I just fell in love, knowing that, like, I remember this growing up, but I don't remember just sitting there and watching it.
So I watched this about an hour ago for the first time ever. But when we got to Parents or People, I was like, this sounds very familiar. I feel like I've heard this.
Yeah, I want to say like it's in a movie, like some movie used like a clip of that somewhere, like someone's watching in the background or something.
I don't know. I don't know why. But I do have to say, this seems very progressive for even by today's standards. Because when we got to the babies.
Yep.
Or
Mel Brooks and Marlo Thomas,
or as I like to call them, the sewer boys. oh, come on, they looked like the sewer boys from Dicks the musical.
Yes, fair enough. but they both look the same, and they're in yellow.
but when they were talking about gender and everything, I was like, 50 years later and we're still having this conversation. And then when they got to, which one was the one about the doll? I was like, 50 years later, we're still having this fucking conversation as well.
William's Doll is the name of it. Yep.
Yeah. I was like, how? And literally 50 years later, like, in it's 2024 and we're still having all these conversations that no one has grown. And it's like, well, a lot of the people who are needing to have this conversation were children when this came out. So they should know better.
They should. Yep. Because Gloria Steinem, who had Ms. Magazine and everything, she and Marlo Thomas worked together to put this whole thing together. And that's why the album at the bottom of the it says like Ms. Magazine at the bottom center of the album.
Like they were a producer or something.
I think like a collaborator, like they worked together to put everything, Gloria Steinem and Marlo Thomas.
And I also had to look up because I know that this is very children forward, you know, trying to break stereotypes and everything. And I know of Marlo Thomas as well from her St. Jude work.
Before every movie, you watch the St. Jude commercial and pass that can around the theater.
Well, and so I realized that her dad, I know her dad was the one who founded it and everything, and Danny she took Thomas. Over. And so, but Danny Thomas founded it before this. So you're... Mm-hmm. We're seeing Marlo Thomas and her altruistic ways even before she took over. And it's very moving, and it's lovely to see that everyone had a day free out of her friends to come record a song and then make a music video for it.
Yep. And a lot of them actually reached out to her. Because a lot of them had heard about the project, and so about be it the original record album or be it the TV special, that's why there's some stuff in the special that's not on the album, and vice versa. But I don't know the facts. Like, but if a lot of those people are like, hey, I'm not on the album, but I have this to contribute, if it will help with the special.
Like Carol Channing has a song about housework.
Oh, it's a poem. So it's just. The album is a little more even-handed on poetry versus songs, or, you know, just straight dialogue versus songs. And yeah, the album's got some gems on it.
Well, and it was part of the special, but then they cut it because of the tone, I believe. That's what I was reading.
Well, the big thing they cut was the Dustin Hoffman poetry reading that he did, and I have the my husband got me this, and I don't know why it's so specific. It was a special, I guess, they aired for the 36th anniversary. Beats me why it's the 36th, but it's the first time, because that was part of it, the Dustin Hoffman sketch air.
Yeah, that's what it is,
did originally air, but this is the first time it's ever been, you know, available to watch legally, I guess, is on this DVD. And I watched it last night, and it's like 7 minutes of him just sitting there at a table in his old school, like 40s style kitchen, reading this poetry. And it's nice and the message is good, but it's Dustin Hoffman just reading poetry at you. Very, you know, 1970, whatever, Dustin Hoffman, like just being very firm and heavy-handed with his message. And it's nice, but it's 7 minutes of Dustin Hoffman just talking to you. And it's like, I'm glad it's a bonus that you don't have to watch.
Yeah, because when Rosie Greer, is that how you pronounce his name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When he, I'm going to use this term loosely, sings, it's all right to cry.
He gets through it.
But I'm like, it's a little interesting to watch because he's doing the stereotypical, I'm doing a children's program. So I have to be over the top and everything. Granted, it's also the 70s, so he could have been high on something. Who knows? I don't want to.
Oh, I have a note about that later.
But like, it's fast. You've listened to the album, you said.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know, like, Diana Ross sings When We Grow Up instead of Michael Jackson and Roberta Flack.
Yeah.
Which, thank you, by the way, for giving me a full breakdown, because I couldn't find... I found something on Wikipedia, and I was like, this is it?
Yeah, that's why when you sent me the list, I was like, it's kind of accurate, but I pretty much knew where you got your track list from, and I'm like, oh, this is the album. So I went through, and I found another tiny website that gave it a little more just more precise for the special.
Yeah, and there was a It was interesting because the one that I have had Dudley come back, like the Dudley Pippin character
Yeah.
come back.
Yes. And that's a very sweet track, that one. It's the No Friend, Dudley Pippin and the No Friend. It's really very sweet. You didn't like, again, there was no need to include it in the special, but it's a very, very cute track of him, Dudley Pippin, talking to his friend. I think they say her name, but it's Marlo Thomas's voice, of course.
Of
But it's a
course,
very
because
sweet.
she's the very Marlo Thomas is the constant in all of this.
Yep.
She is in every scene, one way or
She's the
another.
catalyst. Yep.
I mean, it is her project, so it makes
Yeah, so.
sense. So I don't know where you want to start with this. Like, I know we're bouncing around and everything. So why did you want to bring this to the podcast?
I think because, like I said, I'd heard about it growing up, not knowing much about it. Actually watched it in my women's studies class, like I mentioned. Oh, and I watched it. We watched it on a reel-to-reel on the class projector. This was like
Wow.
1995, 96, somewhere in there, but we sure did watch it reel-to-reel, which I think just gave it all the more charm. And after that, I just became like, I find the niche things, I become obsessed with them. And, I buy the book, I buy the what, like, I just get my hands on anything and everything about that certain album, cast recording, whatever it may be. But it's just so sweet. There's so much heart. And like you said, even in 1995, six, when I started my in-depth love of this, was that I was just so wonderfully surprised at the content and about the messages. Luckily I wasn't surprised by them, but it was just like, oh, how progressive, how cool is all this? And the fact that on the album there's Broadway stars. You have Carol Channing talking about cleaning.
Well, because I had to look it up because a lot of it, I don't want to, I'm not, I don't want this to come off as a derogatory statement, but a lot of it did feel a lot like Sesame Street, where, it's teaching values, it's teaching basic
Yeah.
things like kindness or like, hey, anyone can play with a doll. Like, the reasoning they give is just one thing, but like, anyone can play with a doll. It doesn't matter why.
Yeah. I think because Sesame Street started in the late 60s on Children's Television Workshop. And I think that a lot of other programs were like, oh, look at this formula. Look, kids want to learn. They realized through Sesame Street
Yeah.
and their style. So I think a lot of people and companies latched onto that same ideal of like, oh, kids want to do this. Cool.
Right.
So let's just, whatever our message may be, let's just use that similar format.
Because they were in Sesame Street was in season 5 when this came out.
Okay,
I,
makes sense.
yeah. So, and Sesame Street is also known for being very progressive with their messages and things like that, as well as like Mr. Rogers, where Miss I remember from the Mr. Rogers documentary that like him and the mailman who is played by a black actor whose name I'm forgetting and I'm so sorry, but because the two of them had their feet in like a
In the
pool,
pool. Yep.
yeah, like that was super progressive. And then here, like I said, you have the puppets talking about gender, and it's interesting because like they when they start questioning like how they identify, it's like they had trans, the transgender thoughts, or
Yep.
like being like, trans people, we see you, but I don't think they meant it
Yeah.
initially in that way.
Yeah, no, we're definitely looking at that. Actually, this is a perfect jump off point. I think we can go right for it now.
Yeah, let's do
So
it.
I'm going to backtrack real quick to the Free to Be You and Me song. I love a good tight vocal folk song.
It's very 70s.
Yep, it's the New Seekers, and they are also known for their big hit, I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing. So it's them.
Oh, thank you. Thank
It's
you.
them. So then it goes into the Boy Meets Girl, and I think because we're looking at it through 2024 eyes to give it that trans association, and you're not wrong, but I think they were just at that time just trying to battle male versus female roles and expectations. Because when he, I will say he and she, because we're going to deal
That
with what
is
we're dealing with. So when Mel Brooks asks Marlo Thomas, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" After they're like, "I don't know if I'm a boy or a girl," he asks her, "What do you want to be?" And she says, "A fireman," and she says, "How about you?" And he answers, and I quote, and I wrote it down, "A cocktail waitress. Does that prove anything to you?" Because he's sure that he's a girl. Because he's got small, dainty feet. Yep, it's girl time.
Well, to even go back a little further before we sorry, I found this little tidbit, like why the special ha the record and the everything else happened is because Marlo Thomas wanted to teach her niece Dion about like rejecting the gender stereotypes and like you she was like, I'm fine. I was finding children's books where it's like there's a pilot who's a boy and a stewardess using the language that she's,
Of the
I'm
time.
quoting
Yep.
her, and the stewardess is a girl and that's what they want to be. And she like threw the book. She's like, no.
Forget this. She gets on the phone with Gloria Steinem. We have to talk now.
Yeah. We have to fix this. And so when we get to that, I feel like, and through, and like, as well as we touched upon William's doll and It's All Right to Cry, like, there are things that even today we struggle with where it's like seen as unmanly, quote unquote, to cry in public if you're a, if you identify as a man. And it's like, but you're having a human emotion. Like, you're
Yeah, be a
expressing
joy or
yourself.
sadness. Yeah, if you want to cry, cry.
It's
It's
like
fine.
smiling, you know, like you
How
can,
dare you?
anyone can smile.
I agree completely.
But yeah, so we have Boy Meets Girl with the creepy puppets. That it's so funny hearing Martha, hearing their voices, because you're like, these are two very like notable voices, Mel Brooks and Marlo Thomas, and you are not affecting them to act
Nope.
childlike or anything,
Marlo
which
Thomas, a little bit, but
a
not too
little,
much.
but like she has that naturally like kind and
Sweet,
gentle,
yeah.
sweet voice. To jump ahead as well, because I love this section when she was talking with the kids. I wish there was more of that.
See, I'm just the opposite.
Well, because they're having a real conversation. It's like I feel like Sesame Street as well to did that, where you're having an honest conversation with kids and you're talking to them. You're not talking down to them as if you're like,
Yeah,
I'm
and
the
I
adult,
appreciate
you're a
that.
kid.
Yeah.
Like they're talking about siblings. And
Yep.
it and th I mean that's a real thought to have where it's like, I wish I had a sister because I want a sister, you know, or my mom is the only girl in the family. To
Yeah.
quote one of the kids.
I love in the setup of that, they're in like that, you know, the half circle like gymboree thing, and I love that it's covered. Like obviously because they're on a playground and for filming purposes they probably just got some canvas and covered it and it looks great, but I just thought like, oh, how interesting, they just took this playground gymboree whatever and just covered it
Is
so they could interview these kids in private.
it the same playground that they then sing Bro Sisters and Brothers?
I'm gonna guess just because it's easiest, like, we've already signed out this area of the park, let's just use it.
We're in New York. Who
Yeah, we got with the
cares?
city, it's fine, we got the permit. Just sit down, sit on the ground, we'll cover
I didn't really like Sisters and Brothers because it felt,
it.
hold on, because lyrically it felt weak. Because they kept just keep singing Sisters and Brothers, Sisters and Brothers. I was like, give me, I need a little bit more meat to this potatoes, you know, like I love the voices, I love the singing, I love the dancing. It's just the lyrics I felt were a little weak. I didn't flat
Repetitive
it.
and
Yeah, I didn't flat it though, but it was still just like, you need to give me more than just Sisters and Brothers. Because why have this song then?
yeah, I gotcha.
Just for me,
Yeah,
you know,
nope,
because
that's fine.
well, and it's because the other every other song and scene and everything has a message, you know, or
And progresses
and
with
progresses,
something.
yeah, and every vignette you can take out and like show it to somebody and be like, what did you learn from this? And that because I feel like that is also
That's totally fair. I get that.
That might also be like the concept where it's like you're gonna have all this overarching like progressive thoughts, but if it's too much for your 1974 brain, you can watch one scene and understand the whole thing.
Yeah. No, I gotcha. I respect that point of view completely.
But then like Sisters and Brothers, if you were to watch that by yourself, you're like, I mean, it's great dancing and chill vibe music, but
Yeah.
like, I don't know what I'm supposed to learn from this.
Yeah. Like I said, they had the permit, they signed out the park. They're like, eh, let's just film it
East Harlem Singers? Great.
here. Go for it, guys.
Let's go to
Dance.
town.
Speaking of singers and such, for When We Grow Up with Roberta Flack and Michael
Michael
Jackson, the
Jackson.
only note I have is pregnant. Roberta Flack is so pregnant in this, and it's so
Oh,
cute.
she
They put her in,
is.
oh my God, yeah, they put her like in a cute little 70s jumper with jeans and everything, and it's so, like, they're having so much fun. And it's that even when you watch it now, like, yep, for those of us that, I mean, I wasn't alive obviously then, but just the idea of like, oh, I remember pictures of young Michael Jackson. So to have that kind of disassociate with, past 25 plus years of him, but to look at him in this, it's just like, this is so sweet. And I love that set. Like, it was kind of like almost a black and white giant coloring book kind of a setup. I just thought it was
I
really
love
cute.
the mirror moment that they had. It was cute. But I wrote down, but we do change, because that was a thing that they kept saying, like,
Yeah.
don't change, we don't change. And it's like, but we do, you know, we get older, things change. It's
Yeah.
natural.
I look at it, I think it's just the idea is because they're supposed to be little kids, and kind of like you were saying earlier, no adult in this, whether they're voicing or playing a child, no one plays them like idiots. Like when adults play kids, sometimes they play them like idiots, and they didn't do that at all.
Well,
But I think
Michael. Oh,
the idea
sorry.
was just like, oh, sorry. The idea was just that I hope you never change. I think it's more that child's ideal of like, I hope our relationship doesn't change. Like,
Ah.
so even if you don't become a millionaire, or, you don't wear perfume and gloves, I don't care. I just want to be with you forever and ever and ever.
So the friendship doesn't change. That's what they're
Yeah,
saying. Got it.
it's not about what you become as an
Personal
adult. It's
growth.
just, yeah, it's, yeah, please grow as a human, but like, I just want to be friends forever and ever.
Man, and this is right before Michael Jackson's solo career, right? Yeah.
I think
Or like
shortly,
just
like he ended,
about to start.
yeah, because what was it? Off the Wall was 79, 80. Sorry, Michael Jackson fans. I don't know. I know all the songs. I just don't know the years.
I just have him in the glittery pajamas for I Wanna Rock With You.
Yes. Yes.
And then we get to Parents Are People, which you teased.
The song by Carole Hall, fun, that she also wrote The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. She
Nice.
that she wrote this song, Parents Are People. I sang this song in voice class with my friend Corey Smith. Hey Corey, she's not listening, but hey. When we did it,
She might be, you never
she might
know.
be. I'll tell her, give it a listen.
Yeah.
I remember her mom was, it was just in the music room backstage, and her mom was sitting there. And when she and I started singing this song, of course, at my suggestion and request, because like I said, I became obsessed. And when we started the song, I just remember her mom smiling ear to ear the whole time we sang this song.
You know the one thing they don't list?
What?
Parents are tired.
I think we're trying to keep it positive, but yes, parents are
Parents are
tired
tired.
with their children.
Well, because they list everything else but that. And I was just like, parents are so fucking tired.
They're doing everything. Like,
God
they can be
bless
any.
parents. If you're a
God bless
parent, God bless you. I cannot. I
you.
mean, yeah. But like it was fascinating that like they had the different jobs throughout New York, and obviously, like you were saying about the jungle gym or the playground that they had for brothers and sisters, and like they were like, okay, so we have this one sidewalk
This
that
block.
we can park the taxi cab at,
Yeah.
and you can pretend like you're driving and lip sync. But it was cute. And this whole thing is just so cute. And like, I'm 36, so like, I'm not the target audience by any means, but still, it was overall, I'm like, okay, this is a cute way to start my day.
And did you watch the version I sent you, the one that had all the commercials in it, or did you find something else?
I watched it on YouTube. I found two different versions on YouTube actually, but one of them had a poor sound quality, so I switched it over. And like it was still not the sharpest of like images, but it was still nice.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Hey, they got their point across. The next is anything else about that song? Parents or People?
No, but I need to talk about Ladies First, which is the
Okay,
next
good.
thing, because
Bring it.
I may have zoned out a hot second, and I all of a sudden I was like, "Whoa, we're in the woods? What's going on?
We're in the
We're in the
jungle.
jungle." So, is it just to be like, not be a brat? Is that the idea behind it? The
Well, because
message?
she's, she considers herself a real little lady. So when she's in suburbia and everything, she's like, ladies first, ladies first. So like you can tell I'm a lady because of my white socks, my shiny shoes, this ribbon in my hair. So
Right.
ladies first. And so like she should be the first in line at school to get her lunch. She needs someone to clear the way for her because she's a
A
tender, sweet young
lady.
thing. She's a lady. And so all of her friends, they certainly are not her friends. All her classmates are just like, fine. And then they go on this trip to the jungle where everyone is in their gear, except for her, of course. And they get in line to get that. They each have to share a mango. Like every two people shares a mango, which I never had a mango in my life. So I knew what one was, but I didn't know what it tasted like. But she says, well, I'm a real little lady, so I get to go to the front of the line and I deserve a whole mango. And they gave her one. So then, basically using the power of her toxic femininity to get anything she wanted. And then when they get to the jungle, they get captured by, and my note was, I love the way the tigers look and talk, oh, far out, that kind of stuff.
They had
Is,
numbers too.
yep, they had numbers. They were a team. They had to work it as a team. They pull her out of the, whatever that net is called, when someone scoops everyone up.
A
But,
net.
a net, I just didn't know if it had a certain name for that kind of trap net. Anyway, they pull her out because she looks a little bit different than everyone else, and they're like, "What is this?" And she's like, "I am a tender, sweet young thing. You can tell by my blah 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 blah."
Right.
And that's when they're like, "Oh, far out." So they're like, "Well, she's tender, she's sweet." They tie her up, getting ready to eat her. And but the line that she says that still makes me laugh to this day. So she's tied up. She doesn't know she's about to be eaten, and she says, and if it's all the same to you, Tiger Tweety, I wish you'd stop licking me. Because there's one in the background, like licking the back of her hair. And then they're like, well, we were just trying to decide who to eat first. And since you're the self-proclaimed tender, sweet young thing, so now her femininity, sorry, has turned against her. Just about that, like
I
trying to
mean,
play off on that.
I did write down that she's a fucking moron when they started licking her, and it's like, do you not understand what's about to happen? Like with this
No, she
though,
doesn't.
I don't understand what the message is. Because I know there's a message. I know this one has a message because they all have, almost all of them have messages, as we said. But is this one just like, the world doesn't revolve around you?
I think it's definitely that, but also using the power of your confidence, and she's using that stereotype of like, well, I'm a lady, so I should get anything I want, kind of thing. And which unfortunately is the way a lot of people were brought up, as long as you're young, beautiful, and feminine and everything, that the world shall kowtow to you. It's like the line in the Brady Bunch movie, which I love, when Marcia and Greg start fighting over who's going to get the attic, and she goes, I don't know if you heard about this, Greg, but there's a thing called women's lib. It means women get whatever they want. And that would have been around the exact same time period as this.
And yeah, you're right. Interesting. Anyway,
So that's my thought.
and then we've got Dudley Pippin and the principal. Is the principal the voice actor from Frosty the Snowman? I have to look this up
Like,
now.
yeah, that's a good question. The only factor, the only note I have to share, other than the principal's a little creeper, a little
Oh,
creepy, a
Stranger
little bit,
Danger.
stranger danger. But that the voice of Dudley Pippin, who only makes one appearance in the special, but two on the album, like you were saying earlier. We see hear Dudley Pippin later. Is voiced by Robert Morris, the original J. Pierpont Finch, and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, he was. So he was Billy DeWolf voiced the principal, and he was what's the character name? Professor Hinkle in Frosty the Snowman. Because I
that voice is too specific.
It's too specific. I grew up, if everyone listened to that episode of Frosty the Snowman, where it only has one song in it, I said I grew up watching this. Like that voice is ingrained in my brain. So I was just like, I know this voice from somewhere. And I think it's him. Lo and behold, I was right. Yeah.
He does have a very specific voice, you're right. But at the end of the sketch, when he's playing his flute and the music was sad and happy, it's like the Pied Piper situation. That's where I'm like, I get the message of like, it's okay for little boys to cry. Like, and he's like, only a sissy cries.
Which then bleeds into It's All Right to Cry.
Correct.
Which is a song?
I think
spoken word piece?
And when it's over, you just snap. Yes. Like.
Yeah. You're like, we're at a coffee shop, Mian.
That's great. I also love this song. I mean, this piece, it's on no playlist. We'll get to the playlist later. But I mean, this song really does make me think of my dad, only in the sense of my dad was not a constant crier. But if he was sad or happy and he wanted to cry, he would. Like, he didn't bawl. But like, I definitely saw my dad cry several times. So it's just like, okay, it's cool.
Yeah,
like
you don't have to be the stereotypical stoic man. Yep. Oh my God. The other day, I was riding home on the train listening
to what?
Listening to Diana the Musical cast album. And when we get to If, the final song where she dies, I was starting to tear up on the train. Aww. So, like, it happens.
You're in New York. No one gives a crap.
No one gives a fuck. Yeah. But still, like, you know, you have an emotional response to things. Sometimes it's in public. Fuck it. Go.
Yep.
Own it, you know? Like, I cry at movies all the time at the theater. The theaters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, watching If. That one hit me so hard, and I was not expecting it. You know, the new Ryan Reynolds Imaginary Friend movie. Where
I heard about, a lot of my friends have said that.
My friend Lauren Gismondi, friend of the bestie of the pod, and I went to go see it, and I was just like crying.
Aw, so, I mean, even from the commercials where I see they're selling it as like a family, you know, comedy slash heartfelt kind of thing, and hey, look, here's Ryan Reynolds. Which is fine. That's fine with me. But even watching the trailer for it, I'm just like, people are going to cry at it. You know what I mean? You can kind of just get the vibe.
I didn't think I would.
Oh, I totally did.
I didn't think I would.
I still haven't seen it, but like, oh, this is going to be a crier.
So going back to this. So yeah, mm-hmm. We got men cry and it's okay. and then we get William's doll, which, okay, I don't necessarily like the expected reasoning that the grandmother has,
mm-hmm.
but it does make sense because mm-hmm. because like, you know, that I think this is also helping to break like the stereotype of the mom has to take care of the kid, you know, mm-hmm. like this is saying no, you are parents. It's both of your responsibilities to raise a child. It's not because even to this day, I mean, that's the thing about this. Like, even to this day, there's a lot of the conversations that are happening where it's like, no, you have to take care of your child. It is, it's yours. Like, you created
it's not 1958.
It.
Yeah, you gotta do some work.
And even in 1958, like, you should have. It's not. I'm glad that she's Marlo Thomas is helping to break the stereotype, but still, like, saying that the reason why William wants a doll is to then learn to be a dad. It's like, that's maybe not it, but like, okay, if you need to like justify it to somebody so they can understand.
I think Marlo Thomas and Grandma I think it was kind of a quick solution. I don't think it was a like a throwaway solution. It was the like we need a reasoning for this, even if it is surface level, just something to address it. Because yes,
Right,
I
so
agree. There's more things, there's more options and everything. But I think Grandma's just gonna be like, okay, Dad's freaking out, and I'm assuming it's Grandma that Stuart William. Oh my God, that William's father is the son of this woman. So I'm assuming it's his mother.
yeah.
But she's like, no, look, calm down, calm down. He's just doing this because, someday when he has a baby, he'll know how to care for it, as and they say, as every good father should learn to do. And that's the thing that makes him smile. Again, there is more to it, I agree. But I think even for 1974 audiences, is like, we'll just stay on the surface for a quick end. We'll put a Band-Aid on this. Just a Band-Aid. We'll get in deeper later. But well, society can. Marla's just gonna be like, Band-Aid, there you go. So I
And
think
even
it's
then, we're still having this whole like pink is for girls and blue is for boys, and girls play with dolls and boys play with cars or something, you know?
Go
And
to
it's
any
like,
toy aisle.
and you're like, it's a toy and it's a color, like they're inanimate things.
Working at Disney, I love it. Makes my heart smile so much when you see, I've seen little boys with those princess dresses on, and they're not up in the gig. They just have the dress on, and they're happy as can be. Or they're walking around with their Elsa doll, and I'm just like, cool.
Or like a modern version of this story that I've seen dads be the reverse of William's dad, where, you know, they play the tea party with their child, whomever they may be. Like dads dress up in princess outfits with their child as well. I've seen videos of that. Like, you know, you see
Oh, the
dads
makeup. Oof.
makeup, yes, nails, things like that. And you're like, this is the modern version, I feel like, of this story, which is great because, you know, dads are like, yeah, you're my kid. Like, I'm gonna bond with you. So if you wanna do my makeup to make me look like a whorish clown, go to town. We're
Hey,
gonna have
makeup art.
fun. We're gonna have
Yeah,
fun.
if you find the right gig, makeup artists can make a lot of money. If you find the right gig.
You want to play tea party and give me fairy wings? Go to town.
Yeah,
It's
great.
all play pretend. I'm drinking air.
Yeah. Ooh, sun, green eyeshadow. No, let's can you put give Dad any other color? Green's not Dad's color. Can we just
I mean that's when they're older and you're like,
Yeah.
okay, we're gonna learn about a cat
Okay,
eye.
smoky eyes are harder than you think.
Blending.
this son is a beauty blender. But with William's doll, the one thing I wrote down was I wanted a Jem doll. If you knew Jem and the Holograms and that kind of stuff, that cartoon was big and I loved it. And I wanted a Jem doll so badly, and I never got one. And I remember I would cry in the store. For all our Northeastern friends, you guys may have had this Bradley's. It was basically the Walmart of its time, but Bradley's and Bradley's, Kmart, Caldor, like they're all the same thing. But I wanted a Jem doll so bad, and every time we'd pass it, and I had two sisters, so we always went down the doll aisle. I screamed and yelled for one. I can't believe my mom didn't smack me across the mouth. But at one point, I finally got a Jem doll from my sister for my birthday, and I would have been in like second or third grade at that point, and she got me one for my birthday, and I was just so happy. I remember when I got the wrapped box, like just feeling the box, I knew what this was. I didn't know which doll it was. Oh, but I remember specifically my mom, maybe she asked me what Santa wanted to bring me for Christmas. I don't know. But I said, I want a Jem doll. And she said, are there any boy Jem dolls? I said, yeah, there's Rio. She's like, well, what about a Rio doll? And I was like, I remember specifically saying this, like second, third grade gay kid, like, he's not fun. And so Gretchen got me a Jem doll, and years later I asked her about, like, I remember you giving me that, like, maybe I said why, how, or how'd you get it for me? I don't know. But she just said when it was time to get my birthday present, she asked my dad. She told me she's like, I asked Dad, is it okay if I buy him a Jem doll? And my dad said, well, if that's what makes him happy, then yes.
Fuck yeah, Dad.
Because I remember, I think we never got one while in the store because I was being a brat, but also I don't know what other economic situations or whatever the situation may be, I was never told in the store. I don't remember ever being told, boys don't play with dolls. It was just, they just
It
wouldn't
was
buy me one,
because
damn it.
you were acting out. That's why.
Probably. But yeah,
Your
when Gretchen told me that,
William's
oof.
dad needs to learn from your parents, you know. And then we get to Atalanta, which is the
Oh
same
wait,
story.
we skipped the babies sing about being good to your baby.
Oh, I didn't have anything written
Okay,
down for that one.
well,
That's why.
the only thing I wrote was the line, because it's Mel Brooks, really. This is why I thought the line was so funny. Was they talked about, because they don't like lullabies, so they're like, how about something a little zippier? And he says, we need something with a vamp. Everything works well with a vamp. Da 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 da, and they go into a full blown Busby Berkeley baby musical. So that's all. I just thought that was cute, and I'm like, Mel Brooks had his hand in this one.
Well, so Atalanta, I realized Brave is based off of the same
Yep,
story.
that's exactly what I wrote. I'm like, Pixar watched this a couple
Well,
times.
Atalanta itself is a Greek
Oh.
story.
So it is like a fable or a myth or whatever. It is a
Is a heroine
real.
in Greek mythology. She's a heroine in
Oh.
Greek mythology. Yeah. There are two versions of the Huntress Atalanta, one from Arcadia, whose parents, blah, blah, blah. Sorry, I'm just reading, quickly
Yeah,
reading. Yeah.
no,
So
you're
she
fine.
is from Greek mythology. And because watching it, I was like, okay, so Brave made it a arrow contest, and this one is a race,
Yeah,
you know.
I never knew
And
that.
yeah, I didn't know it either until I watched this, and I was like, this is Brave. And then I had to
Oh,
look it
well,
up, and I was like,
that
well,
part I figured out, but I didn't know that Atlanta was like
it was a
a
Greek
Greek myth
myth.
or whatever.
Although I feel like they changed the end. I don't know. I haven't read the story of Atalanta, but like, I feel like this version changed it because they made it about consent.
True, very, very true. And they both wanted the same thing. They're like, he said, I just wanted a chance to talk to her. That's all. I
And
don't
she's
want to
like, I
marry
want to
her.
live my fucking life. And he's like, that's cool. I'm glad we tied. Maybe we'll hang out again
Yep.
later.
Yeah. Call me in 20 years when your ship comes back.
Then there was Sun and Moon, which I didn't write anything down. I didn't think that one as well didn't had a message or anything. It was just a nice piece.
Yeah, I think she just wanted a number, or because it's Dionne Warwick again, very popular at the time, and maybe that's her. And but she couldn't commit to something major because the song is very, very short. But
And
I
it
just
was
wrote
like
sh
children's
short.
drawings, right? Yeah.
I would hope so, yes. But I thought it was a very pretty but short song. But I'm like, this is lovely. But I agree with you. There's no message to it. It's very pretty and nice. And again, I think they just wanted, Dionne Warwick wants to do something. Okay, cool. Let her.
Dionne Warwick had 2 hours to spare, so they were like, go to the recording booth. I guess we can't make a video with you.
So
Children,
here,
children,
get the
draw
finger
Sun and
paints.
Moon.
Get the finger paints. Go.
And then we get helping the Shel Silverstein poem that they turned into a song.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
And I just think it's so cute. That's all. And it's just
Help.
how
Just
they
help
like
people.
help. Helping doesn't always work out the way you want it to, but the point is you tried to help.
And then let's see. We've got brothers and sisters, which we kind of touched upon.
We talked about before that was her talking to the kids. The only thing I wrote about that was, I think it's the second or third kid she talks to. He's the boy in brown who has like a gap in his teeth, and he won't say the words about his brother hitting him, but he's kind of smiling, giggling the whole time. And he does. I know this is an
He's
audio thing. And the way
punching
he,
his chin, or like putting
and you
his
can,
fist towards his chin.
he's punching his chin, and you can hear his teeth clack together when he does it because he can't say the word hit, or he doesn't want to. But so she says it for him, and he's cool. But just, and then he does it again later in that same interview about being hit. Like, I love my brother, just not when he knock, knock, knock.
Physically abuses me.
Exactly. So that's all I had about that.
And then there's the three wishes scene, which it's cute, but it's also like, I don't understand. We're now getting towards the end, and I'm like, I feel like some of these you just needed to kill some time,
Yeah.
you know?
And I love that it's Cicely Tyson is the voice of Zenobia, and that her name is Zenobia is great.
Fuck yeah.
Again, another one not on the album, but and again, it brings us to kind of like the Sesame Street thing in that sense of like, oh, here's a completely different culture and just friendship, you know, because they do treat it a little differently, but it does still get Mom's going to give her, like, if I had one wish, it would just be to have a good friend. And then he comes back and
Right.
everything. So I just think that's super adorable. But I love that her friend, whose name escapes me right now, at the beginning when she gets the penny, she's like, I wish it wasn't so cold. And the sun comes up and snow starts to melt. And then they're in the kitchen and she's doubting the power of this magic penny. And he points out, like, girl, you made the snow melt. What else do you need?
It's like, well, there's this thing called weather.
But that quick, I mean, there's coincidence. And then there's just like, I wish it wasn't so
True.
cold. Sun, melt. Like,
True,
oh,
but then she
okay.
wished him away and he's like, well, I'm gonna end this argument and go home. Like,
Hey, she
there's
got her wish.
she got her wish, but there's also ways to justify it where it's like,
He's just mad.
yeah, like it's cute in the fact that, like, you know, there's that childhood or like the childlike wonderment and belief in magic and everything like that. But then as an adult, you're watching it. I'm watching it, and I was just like, I mean, I can justify all of this. So,
It
but it's
seems very
cute. It's
much,
cute.
yeah. And the whole little moment sounds like it would have been on Reading Rainbow. Like that
Yeah.
story, like if you had
Again,
expanded that
Sesame
story,
Street, put you could
it
put
would
this
have been a
into
Reading Rainbow. Yeah.
any children's television. Then we get Circle of Friends,
Oh boy.
which I thought it was a smoking circle of friends.
Well, that's why I wrote, this is some serious hippie stuff. I wonder what happened after they wrapped filming, or even before.
Oh, during. Dur fucking
During,
during. Because
cut the
it's
camera. I'll turn the camera.
I'm re who is it?
Chris
Rita Coolidge?
Christopherson.
No, Rita Coolidge is the one
Oh,
where I was
definitely, but I'm
watching
just saying.
and I was like, you lady are high as fuck right now.
And everything's the red, blacks, and orange tones. Adults sitting. What do we say now? Crisscross applesauce on the floor and just mellow with Kris Kristofferson at the guitar.
And this is before, you know, he was part of Barbra
Amityville?
Streisand's,
Oh, yeah. Entourage.
no, Barbra Streisand's concert movie, A Star
Oh,
is
okay.
Born. That's how I view it, because it's like, oh, we're interrupting her concert to have her do these scenes with Kris Kristofferson.
And look at him now.
Look at him now. And then we get the boy and girl say goodbye segment, which
It's very sweet.
I
It
was
just gives us
also.
closure to the babies.
I was also a little annoyed. I feel like this was so rushed that there wasn't enough time to practice some things, i.e., when they are at the exit sign and one of the, I think the boy's parent, quote unquote, because we don't know who they are. They're just the backs of people's heads. But
They're the
he keep,
puppeteers.
you know, oh, yeah, he keeps walking like or swaying like he's walking. And it's like, you are at a wall, sir. Like, just stop.
Yeah. See, he's an actor who he's a puppeteer who's used to going left and right.
But he's still swaying like he's walking, and it's like you are at the end of the hallway.
Sir, it's over. I have to backtrack really quick just to the just the boy and girl moment from earlier, when all the parents are in the window. So it's sorry, I'm backtracking. I
Oh
forgot.
yeah.
So, and they're all just making silly faces at the babies, whatever. I remember the first time I actually watched this, maybe it was even in class when I saw it. The father in the upper left corner of the window is actor Stuart Penkin from lots of TV shows and movies in the 80s and 90s, including The Golden Girls, Family Ties, and a supporting, very heavy supporting role in the movie Mannequin on the Move, aka Mannequin
Mannequin
2.
Two,
Yeah, he's William Ragsdale's boss at Princeton and Co.
and of course you would have known that he was in Golden Girls.
Yes. He's the guy who runs the shoddy hotel when they go to the tropical island or whatever when they get shipwrecked.
The fact that you can at a drop a hat. And then we round it out with a reprise of Free to Be You and Me. Do you know why there's ellipses
In the song, oh, sorry, what do you
in
mean?
this in the as the song title, in the title of this whole thing, like where it's
Oh,
Free to
gotcha.
Be ... You and Me, like why are there
I think because I'm just I'm shooting in the dark here, is just, it's just free, like knowing that that phrase free to be, you could kind of put anything there. Because
Okay.
later, because that's a perfect question, because while I was typing these notes up, the notes for myself or something, there is a follow-up album and an Emmy-nominated TV special from December of 88 called Free to Be, dot, 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 a Family.
Yeah.
And
Which
so I think
is like
just
a
the term free to be is just the beginning of whatever you want to put after it.
which is so fascinating because it's according to the IMDb summary, it's a seminal TV special about two groups of children, one in New York City and the other in Moscow, who befriend each other over a satellite connection to find common ground. And it's like, okay, well, that's during the Cold War, or like towards the end of the
Exactly.
Cold War, which makes sense. But if you get a chance to look at that list of friends, Marlo Thomas and
Yep.
friends.
Robin Williams, Lily Tomlin, Carly Simon, Penn and Teller, John Bon Jovi,
Like
and then Kermit the
everyone's
Frog
in
and
it.
Miss Piggy.
And Mel Brooks is the only one from, and Marlo Thomas, obviously, are the only ones from
From the original.
this one that move over to that one. I don't
I
know
wonder
if
if it.
they play the puppets, but
Nor do I. I haven't seen it. I have the album of it, the record album. I found it in
Paul,
Portland, Oregon, but I haven't listened to it yet.
should we do it? Should we do it? Do you want to do
Down the
it?
road, I would love
Sure.
to. I mean, if you're asking me, yes, I would love, because that's something we both have never seen.
Yeah, this is gonna be wild.
And it's going to be short. I have a feeling this isn't going to be long. And I think maybe they chose the Cold War epic, oh my God, Russian American thing, because she has her, the things that she's passionate about, women, women's rights or women's equality, and the St. Jude Fund. So maybe she, at that time, she had a big thing with relations between the Soviet Union and America. Maybe this was her passion project. Just guessing. I don't know.
I don't know, but we managed to talk about an hour, like make this about an hour long, and we haven't gotten to Sharp and Flat yet. But I
Okay.
before we get there, though, I do want to say that this special is an Emmy award-winning special. It won Outstanding Children's Special in 1974. It was also nominated for the Emmy in Outstanding Individual Achievement in Children's Programming for director Bill Davis. But Marlo Thomas and Carol Hart won the special because they were producers.
Of
But
course.
Tommy, is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
Just really quick, in 2020 during COVID, Sarah Barry, they did a special where Sarah Barry Ellis did a cover of the song Free to Be You and Me with a lot of pictures from the classes of 2020, because that was, everyone had to graduate from home and that whole kind of
Aww.
thing. So you can find it on YouTube legally and easily, and you can download the song off of, or watch,
Anywhere.
listen to the song, anywhere. If you do download the song, even still now, even though that was 2020 when it happened, all proceeds go to benefit the NAACP Legal Fund, Defense Legal Fund. And they some lyrics were changed to make it more broad and inclusive. And because Marlo Thomas didn't give hardly any permission to anyone to redo this. But when she found out Sarah Barry Ellis wanted to do it, she's like, hell yeah. Seth Rudetsky actually brought them all together to
Of
do
course he
this.
did.
She also gave her blessing to the Broadway Inspirational Voices, and they did, arranged by Michael McElroy, they did Brothers and Sisters.
And also, when Marlo Thomas was creating the album of this, she was told that it wouldn't sell as much. And I mean,
Aha.
it became gold and platinum and diamond in under 10 years, and it's still, well, when she said this, it was 40 years later, so 10 years ago, everyone. It's still like the top 100 albums of all time.
Okay.
So in
We can run with that.
2014-ish, she said this, and it's like, okay, well, I mean, I believe it as part of children's albums and everything. You know, everyone wanted to learn how to be a human.
Good way to
Anyway,
put it.
let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall we?
Yes.
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. I didn't really have that much for either. I'm
Same.
not going to lie. So that's why I'm like, I was able to like let us go through every scene.
Yeah,
But
very short.
I do want to start with Flats, if that's okay with you,
Sure.
because we ask for consent on here, which is one of part of my flat is, well, my first flat is how 50 years later people haven't learned shit from this.
That's
Like
fair.
men crying without looking weak. Boys can play with dolls, fuck William's dad, and consent. Like, gotta let's learn these, everyone. And I also this is just a dumb flat. It's a John Reilly Sorbet flat that I wasn't able to find a complete list of the songs slash scenes. The end. That's really it. Like the biggest flat is that we haven't learned. We're still.
Yeah, that's fair.
You would think this gen the generation that grew up watching this would have learned.
Yeah. And I've seen plenty of parents who do still follow these guidelines, but sadly, most of them, it's not a most of, some of them.
Right. What were your flats, if you had any?
I do, but again, just very short list. We talked earlier about like the chat with kids scene. I get it and I get how important it is, but to me as a viewer, it just kind of slows it down. But I get the importance of it.
I feel like if there were like one or two other scenes throughout
Yeah,
where they
just
talk about the brothers
little
and sisters and then
cutaways
they
and stuff.
talk about like, I mean, if they were to keep up with like gender as well, you know, to throw in with the babies and the Williams doll and
Oh
everything,
yeah.
to be like,
No, I get
okay,
it.
do you play with action figures? Do you play with baby dolls? What's the difference? You know?
Yeah, use them as like the catalyst for the next song or next poem or
Yeah.
whatever. Yeah, I like that idea. The hippie circle. Enough said. I got nothing else.
Zero children involved in that one. It's just all
Yes.
adults.
And then my last flat was, again, the message is fine, but Dudley Pippin and the creepy principal.
Yeah.
Th
Yeah, did
that's
it have to
that
be the
that's it for my
principal?
flats.
Could it have
Yeah,
been like
well,
a librarian or
it's
teacher in
or
classroom?
I get what you're saying. I don't know if much would have softened the blow. Like maybe if his teacher had been male and like after, you know, he was
Class.
excused, the teach after class or, you know, after detention or whatever you call it, where he had to clean up the paint table, the teacher would have been like, hey, you know, thank you for, you know, I'm sorry about any misunderstandings, but let me tell you know, oh, you're crying. It's all right. You know what I mean? So at least there's involvement with someone else who was there for the whole situation.
It need I think it I like the idea that it's a male adult who's not his a relative.
Correct. And the fact that the principal's like, I heard you knocked over the paint table today. Like, why? Why did you hear about this? So.
Messy, messy, messy. Okay, so sharps. My first sharp is for how each vignette is teaching people how to be kind. First and foremost, like that's obviously it's the low-hanging fruit of sharps, but we're going with it. My other sharp is for the different animation styles because there we didn't really I kind of mentioned it at the beginning, but like there's different styles for the different vignettes. It's not one look, which I enjoyed because this way then it had different artists involved. It had it changed the tone of things, you know. And then my last sharp is for I liked when Marlo Thomas talked to the kids because you know that's what I was hoping for. Like that was the catalyst for this whole thing where it's like, okay, kids, what do you want to see? What do you want to talk about?
Agreed. And I understand and 100% respect
It
that
is
point of
weird
view
that it's only
totally.
once. I will give you
It's
that.
twice, but just 'cause the layout is exactly the same, it's just
No, is it? It's just one scene, I thought.
she talks to them the first time with the hitting, and then
Yeah,
there
but
is
that's a whole segment about talking about siblings.
then later she talks about, oh sorry, that's that one.
Because she has there's the kid who gets hit, there's the kid who talks about how he wants
Oh, you're right. Oh, I thought there was a
wants a
second one.
sister. No, it's only one scene. That's why
Maybe
it's weird.
to me it feels so long. That's why I thought it was
It
two
is long.
for
Yeah,
me.
it's like the Dustin Hoffman
The 7 minutes.
7-minute long monologue.
While you yelling me about being, oh, because his the poem he's reading by whoever the author is, I wrote it down, but is a lot about like being scared of his mother and her reaction to things and him wanting to cry, but he's, you know, it's and him and never having seen a rat before. He lives in the city, but he's never seen a rat, and it's weird.
When is it in the special?
It would have been right after Sun and Moon, the Dionne Warwick song,
Got it.
and right before Helping is where it was supposed to be.
Weird. Anyway, other
So,
sharps?
my sharps are the clothes, every stitch of clothing in this thing, everything, the hair,
Yes.
Marlo Thomas's mascara, top and bottom. Yes,
Done.
here for it. And especially the costumes, because these were definitely like the simpler versions of, but with brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, like just what they're wearing. It's just the bell bottoms with like a turtleneck long sleeve, like, and just them bopping around, like the costumes for that, the whole thing. But I just love, oh, this is just what. So Marlo Thomas, we're going to zhuzh her up, but these are just, you know, the Harlem Singers, and they're just going to go out in their own clothes and dance around. So
Gonna
cool.
have that one girl in pigtail braids. The
The Asian girl, yep, with the
Asian girl and the white girl with the long hair, like
Look, representation, we matter, yay. In the Harlem chorus. I enjoy Williams Doll mostly because of that story I told you. That's why it, I like that a lot.
Your parents listen to this, it
Yep,
sounds
see?
like.
And I just mentioned earlier, just like with the New Seekers, just that tight folk harmony. I love that sound.
Yeah.
And then I just wrote this down just now because we mentioned it. Another sharp, the name Zenobia. And then her nickname is Nobi. I was like, yes.
Get it.
Yes.
That one I was just like, this is a name that I've never heard before, and I'm here
Or
for it.
since.
Well, you never know. I mean,
No,
there
I just
could
mean
be
that I've heard.
people. Yeah,
Oh,
but
I'm
I'm
sure
saying,
there
like, in
are,
the
but
world,
I've
there are
never heard
people
it.
named Zenobia. I just haven't met them.
Yeah.
So if your name is Zenobia, say hi. Would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist? I only really wrote down the titular song, Free to Be You and
Yeah,
Me, just because
definitely.
it's cool, it's calming. The other ones are more message songs that I'm like, I don't like, maybe I could listen to Brothers and Sisters on its own because it has
Yep.
no message at all.
Nope.
But
And
it's still fun. It's still a fun ride.
yep, I wrote down three songs. One was the title song, definitely. I did add Brothers and Sisters because it's just a bop. It's just a like groovin' song. And like you said, you don't need to know anything about this other than listening to the song itself. It's a good bop. It just gets you kind of going, having your morning coffee.
It's good, like background, like
Do, 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 do.
yeah.
And just because it's more, definitely more of the message song, but again, it's just the fun, simple melody of Parents or People. I just think it's just so sweet.
Well,
That's it.
Tommy, we did it.
Woohoo!
We talked about Free to Be, .. you and
You
me.
and me.
Is there anything you'd like to plug or promote?
Actually, yes, though it doesn't directly affect me any right now, but one of our local record stores, over 50 years family owned in our area, is closing, sadly. And basically my message is just please go support your local music and record stores. If there's one nearby, please go. I understand other outlets, Amazon and I'd say Best Buy, but oh well. But other places like that and chain stores are less expensive, yes. But if you can go support your local media stores, I would just say, especially for me, record stores, music stores, please go. Please
And
note
get
they are
yourself
closed.
this record.
And yes, find this record, and you will. They're closing on like good terms. Like there's no economic issues after 50 plus years. Who the family member who owns it now? She's like, I gotta go, and her
Right,
family
but
supports her,
we all
so
know those mom and pop stores that
just disappearing.
are closing because of taxes or something.
Yeah, so it's not
So
always Amazon's fault. It is taxes, it's zoning, it's all this
It's
other stuff.
yes.
But
So
please
yeah,
support your local stores.
I like that. I like that a lot. And also the get the Sarah Bareilles version of Free to Be You and Me.
And brothers
Because
and
it
sisters, if it moves
well, I was gonna say
you.
that one because it's the NAACP you said.
Yeah,
What is it?
they both the defense fund for the NAACP, and both if you pay for either one of those songs, the money still goes towards that. They're
Oh, it's
both under the
both
same
songs.
umbrella.
Okay, I thought it was just the Free to Be one.
Yeah, nope, they're still under the same thing.
Cool.
But yeah, but you can listen to it streaming. So if you have an Apple Music account or Spotify or any of those, you can listen to it on there too.
And yeah, if you grew up watching this, I'd love to hear about it. You know, tell me what you thought and how it changed your life. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. Also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads at buttersongpod. I don't have another question to ask people. I asked a question earlier and I don't remember, so go back and answer that question that I asked you.
Listen to the whole thing all over again.
And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, well, we are going to be talking about another classic called An American Tale.
Oh.
Yes. It's not Five Old Goes West yet. He doesn't go west. He just comes
Ease
to
up. Hold
America.
on. We'll get there eventually.
He's up. He's just coming to America first. Tommy, thank you so much. And you know what? Thank you for introducing this to me because honestly, it was a nice way to wake up and watch and then jump on a Zoom call and record this episode. But like, you know, it's always lovely to like, you know, have it do a recording and be like, oh, I'm now just having a light day.
Thank you, and you're more than welcome.
Yeah.
I'm very glad.
And we're not fighting like we did move
No, we'll just
We're just
let that
gonna
water
let
flow
that
under the
episode be
bridge.
there. That episode is
It's
just there
it'll
for people to
just
listen
live in the
to.
past.
And everyone, thank you for listening and bye for now.
Bye.
Where's the stop button? There it is.
Special thanks to Aaron Choi for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.